Will you turn with me to Mark chapter 4? Martha looked at the title and she said, "You know, you wouldn't need a GPS if you would just obey your wife." So maybe you should change the title to obeying your wife, and you don't need to buy an expensive GPS then. Sad to say, that has been the occasion in our marriage that if I had obeyed, we would not have gotten lost. As we look at this passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 4 here, we continue on in the life of Jesus Christ. In this chapter here, we see we see the parables. We have a chapter where Jesus gives us different parables. And as I look at the parables he's given us, and I look at the verses that we're talking about here, I think that the most important verse that we can see is in verse 33. And the words that to me are so special there is that Jesus spoke in parables, but he did it as much as they could understand. In other words, he tried to help people that they could actually understand what he was teaching. That's a very, very key thing, isn't it? That if you come to church and you cannot understand what I am saying, then how will you be blessed? And Jesus, in his teaching, used parables and did it, taught them as much as they could understand. And the parables were about the kingdom of God. The central theme that the Gospels is about the kingdom of God. And in connection with the parables, it says that Jesus explained everything. He used parables, but he also explained everything when he was alone with his disciples. His desire is that God's word makes sense to us. God's word is not supposed to be something hidden from us, but it's something that should make sense to us. We're going to look at a couple of verses, and then we're going to go back and go through the parable. But go down to verse 10 in Mark here. It says that when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables, okay, and we're going to get to those. And he told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Jesus teaches in parables both as a judgment against those that are outside and as a means of instruction for those that are inside, inside the kingdom of God. You say, okay, why does somebody have to be outside? Why can't we all be inside? The difference between outside and inside, between Jesus explaining his parables and helping them to understand it, is a heart attitude. That's one of the things that you will hear over and over today, is that it's our heart attitude that makes the biggest difference as to where we are at spiritually. God desires everyone to be inside. Peter says that it is not God's desire that anybody should die and go to hell. That's not his desire at all. He wants everyone to repent and be saved. That's God's desire. But the heart attitude of people is what determines whether you will or not. It kind of connects with the Christian life class that we took this morning, and those of you that were in that class, forgive me. But we talked about God. Our chapter was in God revealing himself to us. And I asked them the question, on your day-to-day basis, who do you reveal things to? And how much do you reveal to them? And you know what we noted? That you reveal things to a person to the extent that you know that person. Right? The better you know a person, the more you will share of yourself to that person. Now, it would be good if I told you a very good secret about Martha, but I can't, because I don't know you as well as I know her as my wife. Our relationship has a depth to it that she knows things and I know things that nobody else does. Do you see how in your relationship with God, God wants to know us so intimately? But have you ever started, do you ever remember starting a new school or starting a new job where you don't know everybody and you the first day you think, you know what? I think that person is going to be my buddy, my friend. And then as time goes on, sometimes it happened that that person never became your good friend. It was actually somebody that you never expected. Why was that? Because you can only have a relationship go as deep as the other person responds. God wants the entire world to be saved and to have a relationship with each and every one of us. He has gone all the way of revealing himself. But as you respond, if you don't respond, you're not going to get to know him. You're not going to see what's revealed in scriptures. But the more you get to know God, the more he reveals himself to you. The secrets, the mysteries. And that's kind of what these parables were doing. That God desires all of us to be saved. He wants us to be on the inside, but we are the ones, our heart attitude. See, as Jesus explains the parable of the sower, then he says that the parables actually blind those who have resisted God's revelation, and yet it helps those, parables help those who believe and who want to know more. To the hard-hearted, parables are a warning. To those who are open-hearted, parables illustrate principles of the kingdom of God. A parable is simply a story that corresponds or is connected to its intended message. In verse 33 and 34, the end of the passage we want to look at today, you know, Jesus has shared a number of parables, and then it says, with many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand, okay? It was a growing thing. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. The disciples knew things that the crowd did not, because of their relationship with Jesus. Okay, now let's back up. We have in verse 3 to verse 20, we have the parable of the sower. So let's read that. Jesus was teaching them in parables, and he says, listen, a farmer went out to sow a seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered. They withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear fruit, bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they might be ever seeing, but never perceiving, ever hearing, but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. A sower went out to sow. To us, with the seeding equipment that we have these days, we may wonder about some of this rocky soil path, etc. But as Jesus was on the lake, he was sitting in a boat, and on the hillside around him, around the Sea of Galilee, there may well have been farmers walking along, a bag of seed over their shoulders, and they would be reaching in and spreading the seed. The wind helped to carry the seed, so it was broadcasted. You can see what would happen, though, when you throw seed and there's a bit of wind and you're trying to get close to the edge of the field. You don't want any part not to have seed on it. And how some seed would fall on the path. Some seed would fall on the rocks. Some seed would fall within the field. But the thorns and the weeds were there, and some on good soil. We see the path and the rocks. We could probably say they were not plowed. The field was not worked there. The thorns, the field is worked, but the brambles, the weeds, they've not been cleared. The good soil, this is where the earth is deep, the field is well tilled, and all the weeds, everything else, has been removed. There's a few things that we see here. We see the farmer, and we see the seed. Okay, they're kind of in a category by themselves here. This is the seed being broadcast. What's a farmer's job? He can't make the seed. All he does is he has the seed, and he needs to broadcast it. In order for the seed to have any impact, any fruit at all, he needs to broadcast the seed. The proclamation of the word. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." So if you take and you see God's word as being the seed in this parable, then you see that it has not, the purpose for it to be spread is that there should be growth, right? That's why we put seed in the ground. We want it to grow. And it's the same thing here. The farmer spreads the word so that there's a potential for fruit. It's a couple of words that you notice here, receive and accept, as he talks about the hearts of the people. You see, the sower and the seed are the same. Everybody. Path, rock, thorns, good soil. Sower, the seed, same thing. The reception of the heart is different. It's varied, isn't it? The seed that fell on the path, it's not that it was rotten seed. It's not that it was bad seed in any way. So we have different groups of hearers. These are people, Jesus says, they are like. So he's talking about a heart condition. He says the path, okay? The path, the birds came and ate it up. Or the illustration that someone hears the word and Satan comes along and snatches it away before it has any time to take root at all. The rocks, not a lot of soil. So, the seed goes in there. Rocks collect heat, don't they? You ever have a house, a brick house or with rock on it? You walk around that house in the evening and you can feel the heat of that rock. It takes on heat and it doesn't cool off as quickly as the rest. And not a lot of soil. They scorched and withered because they had no root. So these hear the word and they're excited about it. Here's salvation, freedom from my sins. But they never get to the point of bearing fruit because tomorrow you woke up. You will wake up. Because you can't say tomorrow you woke up, right? It doesn't work. Tomorrow you will wake up and life will be as it has been. Your problems will be there. You might not feel saved. And you begin to question when trouble or persecution comes because of the word. They quickly fall away. Now the thorns, they choke. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and desire for other things come in and choke the word and make it unfruitful. Take a look at them. Think, those of you that have any farming background, think of these different soil conditions. I have to go back to my teenage years working with my dad. I remember these trails where you would drive, right? You would drive between two fields and you would do that for years. And if your seed drill ever went onto there, you could see it, but you could see the grain and it didn't grow. But you know, there came a time where we wanted to expand our field and we needed that path. You know what happened? After a heavy rain, it was pretty soft. We went in with a deep tiller and we broke that path up. And over time, we got a good crop in there. If your heart is hard, God uses circumstances as rain, clouds, thunder. His purpose is to soften your heart so that it can be tilled. The rocks. I didn't experience it as much as my older brothers and sisters, but Dad had a field that had rocks. He used to say that roots were so much better than rocks, because roots, you pick them once and they were gone. Rocks keep coming back. Don't ask me how. How is it that they keep coming back? Every year you till it and there's more. But do you know that it was also one of his most fertile fields? So guess who had to pick rocks? You have 12 children, you have 12 rock pickers, no use of buying one. Especially my older brothers and sisters, pick rocks every spring because that field was useful, but you had to remove the rocks. Manitoba, we had quack grass. And I remember Dad sending us out in the field in spring, fall and spring. We had these patches of quack grass and you'd go around and around and around and crisscross and back and forth and you would just work on that little patch of quack grass and then you would start the whole field. Because that quack grass would just choke the grain and there was basically zero. God desires and continues to work in our hearts so that the seed will bear fruit. But do you know that we are the ones that can respond? When we see God tilling that heart and he's working around in one area of our lives and he's turning around on the one area and crisscrossing it, he's trying to get a message to you. He wants the soil to be good. You see, the thorns, they describe those who initially embrace the message, they start on their way, but they do not persevere to maturity. The grain is up, and there's a good potential for fruit, but something chokes it, and that is wealth. There's a gentleman that said that the lust for comfort, that stealthy thing that enters the house as a guest and then becomes a host and then a master, is wealth. Isn't it true? You know that we are of greater danger of losing our faith in Canada than we do in the countries where there's persecution? Because wealth, the lust for comfort. Henry Nguyen says that wealth takes away the sharp edges of our moral sensitivities and allows a comfortable confusion about sin and virtue. It makes the lines fuzzy. But you know, there is good soil. And that good soil brings forth a harvest. These hear the word, they accept it, and they produce a crop. You know what's noteworthy is the fact that a crop is not produced without patience, without perseverance. It doesn't come in June. It doesn't, let's say the first month. I shouldn't use, because in some areas of the world, June it would. But it doesn't come bear fruit in the first month, not even in the second month, and then it begins with your different crops and different lengths. But it produces fruit. Some immediately, some takes longer. Cotton takes 6 months. We can't quite make 6 months, can we? So we don't grow too much cotton. But wheat, barley, different crops, they do. But they all bear fruit. Crops go through three stages: green, ripe, rotten. Isn't it true? Green, ripe, rotten. Harvest is effective only at one stage. Likewise, intervention at the right time can produce a rich spiritual harvest. Marshall Shelley said that. Donald McGavern says that the world has more winnable people than ever before. But it is possible to come out of a ripe field empty-handed. We would say that it is totally crazy for a combine to be whipping back and forth down the field, header way up in the air, because it uses less fuel if you do that. Just think of how much fuel you save. You don't have to have a truck. You don't have to haul that stuff. And you're combining. We say crazy, ridiculous. And we do it spiritually. Because we know there are fields that are ready for harvest. There are people who are desiring the touch of God. And we're so busy in our normal life that we do not have time to connect with someone who might need to be shown the way. And you know what? The harvest turns rotten if we don't get it when it's ripe. I have a friend who at age 13, 14, felt the call of God. And when someone saw him in his time of need and his openness, who should have been able to speak to him about things of God, said, I can't answer those types of things. Just go on with your work. What followed was a life of sin, alcoholism. And at age 30, 15 or so years later, God got through to him in jail. I'm glad God did. But can you see Oh, the harvest was missed. Can you see how actually, I know he's responsible for his actions, but don't we take some responsibility? The person that could have steered him right at age 14, don't they take some responsibility for the years of heartache? James Fawcett Brown, in his commentary, says that the lesson we need to learn here is that we need to be faithful preachers of the word, spreading the seed. That's our job. We're the farmers, spreading the seed. We will see in the parable a little bit later that we're not the ones that make it grow or can make it grow. Only God can do that. But are we spreading the seed? The message, we can be sharing the pure message of God, the pure word of God. In other words, we can have the best tools of evangelism. We can share the scriptures in total clarity, and not everyone will respond. They didn't to Jesus, so why do we think that they will respond to us? Why do we get discouraged because somebody didn't accept God's word when we shared it so clearly and we shared it so irresistibly? Don't give up spreading the seed. If all of the multitudes of Jesus Christ that saw his miracles, you say, well, if we could do more miracles, then people would listen. Miracles didn't help Jesus. They showed God's love, and they authenticated his message, but did the people believe? It takes more than miracles. It takes a heart that is desirous and is receptive to God. Verses 21 to 23, we see the parable of the lamp, and it connects so well with what he is teaching about what the use of parables. He says, Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be given. Jesus, in speaking on parables, used the lamp as an illustration, and then he used the measurement for the open heart or the closed heart. You see, a lamp, light, it illuminates things. We actually say it comes to light, or when something is made known, it came out into the light. And that's true. As we proclaim and as Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God, it was there that the hearts of people began to show whether they were hard, whether they were unrepentant, or whether they were open. The gospel, the proclamation of Jesus began to show that. Jesus said that the light came into the world, but people love darkness rather than light because light illuminated their evil deeds. You bring a light into a dark room. What flees? The light? No, the darkness flees. And that always happens. Then you can see every nook and cranny. You know why it's good in an older house to have darker lighting? Because you can't see all the mistakes. You can't see the cracks in the ceiling. You ever look up in some fancy restaurants? You ever do that? You look above the lights and there's no ceiling there. No fancy ceiling. The light comes down and illuminates everything, but they leave it dark up there. Because you can hide a lot if you leave it dark. And it's that way with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When When we hear God's word, your heart and your response to God's word determines whether there's going to be light coming into your life or whether you want to keep it dark. If you want to keep it dark, you keep shutting the door and not allowing God's word in there. Because once God's word comes in, then it begins to be revealed what's there. See, and the measurement here really has to do with heart attitude. Can you see, if you take these words and you take them and think about them as a heart attitude, he says, consider carefully what you hear. Because with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If you respond to God's word, more and more of God's word will be revealed to you. Because if you respond to God's word, your relationship with God will continue to grow, and He can reveal more to you. But if you don't respond, even what you think you have, you don't have. It'll be taken away from you. The person who welcomes God's rule, the rule of the kingdom of God, he will be given more. The one who depends on his own resources without receiving the word is going to lose even what he has. God's kingdom is an interesting kingdom because it doesn't follow all the rules of the natural world or the natural elements, so to speak. Or maybe it does, but we like to compare different things. You see, in verse 26 to 29, he says that this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, and whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it, because the harvest has come. You plant the seed in your ground. You go talk to it every day. You can go look every day. And other than knowing when you need to spray, there's very little you can do. God takes care of the rain. God takes care of the growth. The kingdom of God, we seed and then we would like to be able to do something to guarantee fruit. I don't know if you're that way, but I'm that way. When I have had the privilege of being with someone in the infancy of their spiritual life, when they just turn their life over to God, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to fast forward them 10 years, 30 years, you know, so that they can be mature and walking with the Lord and experience what I'm experiencing. I want them to have what I've had. I want them to enjoy it as much as I enjoy it. And I can't. I had dear friends that we prayed together, and they started off so well, but then began, I don't know, in a way decide that this wasn't what they wanted. It was too costly. And oh, it hurt to watch them slip away. I couldn't do anything. Couldn't force them. I'm the farmer. I just spread the seed. I do my best that the soil is prepared. I can't make it grow. Only God can do that. And that's not my responsibility. And yet, as if it's an encouragement, he shares this next parable, which is the smallest thing, the smallest expectation and the largest growth. What shall we say of the kingdom of God? what the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground, and yet when planted it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. The smallest, and yet God blesses, and it grows. I want to put my human expectations in. And God says, I'll take care of the harvest. You do your part. And in my own life, I can do my part. In my heart, being prepared and ready for Him. But the growth, that's God's part. I plant the mustard seed. And who knows the great things that God will do. The expectation needs to be incredible. The desire needs to be incredible growth. We have very good board members. And they are very good at telling me that you know what? That's not reality. I said, that's okay. You guys go there. It's true. And I am that way. That I can look way too high and look way too far. And it's not all going to happen. And I'm glad that these brothers are around me and together we can come to reality. It's there. We know what reality is, okay? We know that not everybody is going to respond. We know that there's the path heart. We know that there's the rocks. We know that there's the thorns. And so do we become discouraged and say, well, if that's it, then why do I keep preaching? Why do you keep teaching Sunday school? Why do you keep leading worship? Why do you keep sharing at work? Why? Why? It's not the right question. There is good soil. There is an incredible harvest. And the expectation and the desire and the prayer is way up here. The reality, God gives us the grace for whatever He chooses to give there. Do your ears hear? You say, well, I heard you. Do they hear? In verse 12, he says, those have ears to hear, let them hear. But they didn't understand, did they? Because he refers back to Isaiah 6, those verses about the hard-heartedness of Israel. Jesus warns of the serious consequences for us if we do not open our hearts to Him. The condition of your heart is reflected by your choices. The conditions of your heart are reflected by your choices. I want to read John Ortberg in his sermon, Choices. I want to read what he says, and I'll read it word for word just to give him the way he tells it. John says this, he says, I can't live Jesus' life, and Jesus knows that. But he says, you can ask me to come and live my life in you. Have you ever done that? Have you asked Jesus to come live His life in you? We call it salvation, receiving Jesus as your Savior, being saved. Well, we could have all kinds of things, but really the simple question is, have you ever invited Jesus to come and live His life in you? I'll give you a picture of this. He says, Nancy and I were in a part of the country we'd never been before. We're going to be driving in obscure back roads, so we got a rental car, and the guy at the counter said, along with this car, if you want, you can also get a GPS system. Have you ever used a GPS system? You plug it in, punch in your destination, and a woman's voice, interesting, right? It's always a woman's voice, will tell you how to get wherever it is you are going. Well, when the guy at the counter asked if I wanted one, my immediate response was, no, that's going to cost something. I don't need that. I can find out where I'm going without that. But his wife was with him. She said, get it. So we got GPS. Here's the deal. You can get the box, you can have the lady in the car, but that doesn't mean you trust her. If you trust her, what do? You do what she says. You go where she tells you to go. She says turn left, you turn left. If she says turn left and in your heart you think, but I want to turn right, you remember, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. Okay. To follow Jesus means that I will do what he says. I will mess up a lot. I'm going to need his power. I know that. But I form the intention. I say to him, God, with your help, as best I can, I will do what you will say. I give you my life, my time, my obedience. Here's the thing. If that is not your settled intent, then it is best to be honest about it. If that's not what your settled intent is, then whatever else you might be, you are not a follower of Jesus. An admirer, maybe. But he's looking for followers. He's looking for someone who will say, all right, God. There's something else you need to know about him. Something that is also true when dealing with a GPS system. At one point when we were driving in this car, I was quite sure the lady was wrong. She said to go left. I didn't go left. I went right because I knew she was wrong. Then there's an interesting response. She said, recalculating route. When it is safe to do so, execute a U-turn. I knew she was wrong, so I unplugged her. That's the beauty of the little box. You can unplug her. I got lost. My wife enjoyed it immensely. So we plugged the lady back in. You know what she said? I told you so, you little idiot. You think I'm going to help you now? You rejected me, you just find your own way home. No, she didn't say that. She said, recalculating route. When safe to do so, execute a U-turn. You see, that's grace. As soon as you're ready to listen, as soon as you're ready to surrender, God says, here's the way home. Execute a U-turn. That's repentance. I'll bring you home. He's the only, that is grace. That's Jesus. He's the only one with authoritative wisdom about how to live. He is the only one who brings about the possibility of forgiveness for your sins and mine. He's the only one to give any kind of realistic hope, conquering death of life beyond the grave. Why would you not give your full devotion to Jesus? He does not present himself as good spiritual teacher to be admired from a distance. He presents himself as a master, as Lord, as the one to be followed, served, and obeyed, and worshipped. There's no other way. He is it. That's what John Ortberg said. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Having ears involves a surrender of the proud self-reliance. Where's the soil of your heart at? He says, the one who has more will be given. Do you want more? Does Jesus control your heart? Are you getting rid of the weeds of the rocks? And if you're going through a really tough time, is there soil in your heart that he's trying to work up, that he's trying to soften? Jesus wants your life to bear fruit. You know what? GPS only helps if you listen to it. God in your life, Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you're not listening, you're not a follower. Let's pray. Lord, we know that your desire is that we be followers. Your desire is that we bear fruit, that we get rid of the weeds, the rocks, that we work up the hard path. Lord, you desire so much that we wouldn't unplug the Holy Spirit, so to speak, and keep going our rebellious ways, but that we would turn, make a U-turn. And Lord, when we do that, we find you are there waiting for us. I don't know where you're at as we continue in prayer, but that first decision is very, very important. That's where it starts, where you yield your life to Christ, where you give him the rule of your heart. If you have never done that, I encourage you to do that today. Don't wait with that. He has a lot of fruit that he would like your life to bring. It doesn't matter what age you are. You can come to him and you can give him your life. Lord Jesus, may you bear your fruit in each of our lives. And as we go out as your farmers, we go out into our community, wherever we will be going this week, and we will spread the seed, Lord. That's our desire. And you will make it grow as you see fit. Amen.